The beginning, the parasha of Kedoshim, begins with a challenge. The pasuk says, I'm reading from the sheet now, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor daber kol adat b'nei Yisrael, speak to all of the community of Israel. V'amarte aleihem, and you say to them, Kedoshim tiyu, you should be Kedoshim. Sacred, sanctified. I mean, words that, even though they translate each other, they don't really give us a lot of clarity. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokecha. It sounds like a directive. You should be this way. But it doesn't tell you exactly how we get to be that way. Be that way. Be kadoshim. What should I do? How should I live? What should I change? Doesn't say. Doesn't say in the Chumash. And not only that, this word kedoshim, relating to people in Bnei Yisrael, relating to Bnei Yisrael in general, this word is repeated again and again throughout the Chumash. Throughout the Chumash, from the time that the Jewish people left Mitzrayim until the end of the Chumash. But what exactly is the reference? What exactly is being referred to? Well, Rashi takes a stab at it. But Rashi says, if you look at the Rashi says, "Melamed shenemra parasha v'hakel daber b'kol adat b'nei Yisrael." So we see that this parasha of Kedoshim was said b'hakel, right? That's a community, everybody together. All of Bnei Yisrael came because the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah, he didn't teach everybody. The second group, the third group. That's the way it went. But in this case, the Rashi says, "Melamed shenemra parasha zo b'hakel." This parasha was taught to Bnei Yisrael as a large community altogether. Mibnei Sherov Gufei Torah Tluyiba. This is a kind of an important parasha. Rov, the majority of Gufei HaTorah, of the real of the Torah, is connected to it. Tluyiba are connected to it. And so the beginning of Kedoshim, the beginning of the parasha of Kedoshim, is a kind of a directive that includes all of the Torah. But what about Kedoshim to you? What sort of directive is that? I mean, how am I supposed to become something if I don't know what it is? If there's no one who's going to explain to me what exactly Kedoshim means. So Rashi gives it a try. Rashi gives it a try. Rashi says, Kedoshim to you see the Rashi? Hevu purushim min harayot min aveira. Hevu purushim, separate yourself. Take care to be separate from arayot, from unacceptable sexual engagement. Umin haaveira, and from transgression. So I guess that means everything that the Torah tells you to separate yourself from. Stay away from all those things that are prohibited. That's what the Torah says. That's what Rashi says the Torah is saying. So Kedoshim to you, I don't strike out to be Kadosh. I strike out to do what the Torah wants me to do, and to avoid doing, especially to avoid doing those things that the Torah wants me to avoid. Min ha'arayot u'min ha'avera. Right, singled out, of course, is the transgressed sexual offenses. But Rashi adds on, he says, u'min ha'avera. And this includes all transgression. Anything, you know, like eating unkosher food speaking unnecessary lashon hara. Well, everything is included. Everything is included. And then Rashi adds, Shekol makom she'ata motzei geder erva, ata motzei kedusha. Says if you look in the text of the Chumash, wherever geder erva, that some sexual offenses, there's a we create a protection for ourselves. We say, don't go in, don't stay in a room. A man should not stay in a room with a woman unattended, you know, the door closed, and no one is going to come in. He says, that's a geder erva. So, ata motzei kedusha. In all of those places, you also find the notion of kedusha entering isha. He quotes a pasuk. Isha zona v'chalala lotika. Don't connect yourself with a woman who's a known prostitute. And then the end of the pasuk says, ani Hashem mikadishchem. So we get the idea. We get the idea from Rashi that kedusha is not in itself a specific kind of goal. I want to be kadosh, and therefore I will do this. It's rather that if you do what you're supposed to do and avoid doing what you're supposed to avoid, then we will bestow upon you, we'll bestow upon you the title of kadosh. So Rashi has moved us around 180 degrees. When we read the pasuk on our own, we said kadoshim to you. That sounds like a directive. But if the point is just do what you're supposed to do and avoid the things that you're not supposed to do, then why would the directive be kadoshim to you? The directive should be keep the Torah, keep the mitzvot, make sure that you're on top of what these mitzvot mean, etc. That's what you're supposed to do. So Rashi has kind of changed everything, right? But Rashi, after all, is working off 2,000 years of interpretation, and Rashi knows those 2,000 years of interpretation. And so we are reminded of a pasuk in Melachim Bet. If you look at the bottom, we're talking about the Isha Shunamit, talking about Elisha. Elisha was a prophet, Navi Yisrael, who was a Talmid of Eliyahu. So Eliyahu was the first of a line of prophets, and Elisha was his Talmid, his follower, the one who followed him literally and the one who followed. So we know that Elisha was an outstanding prophet and was the progenitor of some miracles. And the pasuk says this, Lachim bet perak dalet pasuk tet, Vatoma Elisha, she, the woman, for whom Elisha did the miracle, right? The son died and he brought him back to life. Ineina yadati ki ish Elokim kadosh hu over aleinu tamid. She mentions to her husband that Elisha has come by and that she had a room for him in the attic. She had a bed and she wanted him to, whenever he came by, wanted him to sleep in her house. She felt gratitude for the help he had given her. And she also thought that, after all, having a person of serious character traits would be good for her, would be a good thing for her household. And so she calls him Ish Elokim Kadosh. He's one of the two people in the Tanakh, in the entire Tanakh, who is mentioned as being kadosh. Kadosh, of course, is not only kadosh, right? Eish Elokim kadoshu. He is a man of God, and he is kadosh. And we don't know, it's hard to know from the pasuk whether what she means is he is a man of God, and beyond that he is Kadosh, or he is a man of God who is Kadosh. I mean, that's like synonyms. They're the same. A man of God can always be called Kadosh. We don't know that. But we do know that that's what she said. That's what she called him. She called him Kadosh. So if I can find out about the Kadosh, right, his Kadosh, then maybe I would know more about what the idea of Kadosh is. What the idea of Kadosh is. Okay. So the explanation or the comment in Vayikra Rabbah, you see the last source on the page in Vayikra Rabbah, says this. Omar Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, Mipnei ma nismicha parashat arayot, the parashat kedoshim. Why is it that in the parasha, in our parasha this week, there is a kind of juxtaposition of the parasha of arayot, like all of the unacceptable sexual encounters, with the parasha of kedoshim, which comes at the beginning of the parasha, which tells we had sanctity. Ela lelametcha, in order that we should be able, you should learn, lelametcha, would teach us. Shekol makom shata motzei bo geder erva, ata motzei kedusha, wherever you find some limits on sexual activity, that's where kedusha entered. That's what we find. That's kedusha. So that's Rashi. The Rashi got it straight from the Parashat Kedoshim. Va'atya kehadad Rav Yehuda ben Pazi d'amar, kol mi shehu goder atzvo min ha'erva, nikra kadosh. And so we see again, everybody who refrains from excessive sexual activity is called kadosh. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Maite Manshunamit. What is the name? What is she, the Shunamit? Vatome Elisha, Hineina Yadati, Ki Ish Elohim Kadosh Hu. In other words, she's saying something to her husband. Her husband says, how come this guy is sleeping over? I mean, I may be out of town, I may be taking a trip, I'm on a plane, and you've got this guy sleeping over in the house. So she says, Ish Elohim Kadosh Hu. Right? Kadosh means very careful about sexual activities. That's what Kadosh is. Amar Rabbi Yona, Hu Kadosh, Vein Mishartav Kadoshim. He says, well, maybe he is Kadosh, he Elisha. But those who serve him, maybe they're not. Udichtiv, Vaigashke Chazi Lahadfa. In other words, he had his servant, his manservant was named Gehazi. And we know that Gehazi was not always a person who we can depend on. You remember that Gehazi was the one who took the money for curing we spoke about this, for curing Naaman of Tzarat. Naaman had Tzarat and Elisha cured him. And then Naaman, in thanks, we were thanking him, wanted to give him money and other things that he had brought. He, Naaman, wanted to give it to Elisha. Elisha said no, he refused to take it. And eventually Gehazi kind of wormed his way in and did take it. So he was not a great personality. Tabar Rav Yossi Bechanina Shadafa, Behod Yofia al Dadeha, Rabbi Ivan Amam Lameshalo Ibitba Miyamav. In other words, Gehazi was not so averse to a sexual interaction. Rabbanan Amre Shelo Ra'ata Tipat Keri Miyameha al Sadin Shelo. So another opinion said that she didn't see any witness of nocturnal emission on his sheet at night, so she knew that he was not involved with sexual thoughts, right? So you see from the Medrash continues, but you see from the tone of the Medrash that Kedusha equals a sexual propriety, not getting involved. The Shulamit said not only is there no evidence of him being involved, this Navi, Elisha, being involved with sexual impropriety, but he's Kadosh, which either means one is equal to the other, one term is into the other. Or Ki'ish Elokim Kadoshu, or it means that he is a man of God. He's a man of God. Somehow he's connected to God. Ish Elokim. He has that godliness in him in a very obvious way. And therefore, you don't have to try to, you don't have to wonder if he's maintaining God's directive, right? You don't have to wonder about that. So, okay, we have a source for Rashi, and we've like expanded our way of thinking about it a little bit. That it's not just generally following the rules. I mean, it may be that Elisha was not exactly following the modern day rules, but Sahakol, we're talking about a person. A person who's kadosh, a person who's integrated within himself the directives of the Torah, especially those directives that have to do with sexual activity, but all the directives in the Torah, everything is Ish Elokim, he's with God, his thinking is God's thinking. It's the way God wants us to think and wants us to be. That's what Rashi says, and that's what Kedusha is. The question of what Rashi exactly is saying is questionable. But let's look at the Ramban, and that'll help us to clarify Rashi. You see the Ramban Kedoshim Tiyu. It's like not the beginning of the Ramban, but a few lines in. Rashi is a quote to Rashi. Kiddusha, Rashi. So you know the Ramban had a very high regard for Rashi. And when the Ramban quotes Rashi and then disagrees with Rashi, it's an important thing because he doesn't mean that Rashi is wrong. What he means is that there's another dimension to the interpretation that Rashi has kind of left out. Now listen to what the Ramban says. Our Torah Kohanim, it's like a kasha. In this Torah Kohanim, the Sifra, the Midrash, and VaYikra, right? The Stam, Prushim Tiyu, that it doesn't say Min HaAriyot, it just says separate yourself. V'chein shenu sham, right? Then there's another passage there. V'itkadishtem v'item kiddushim, you will become kadosh. Ki kadosh ani, kishem sh'ani kadosh, kachatem tiyu kadoshim. In other words, the primary pasuk for understanding the matter at hand is where God says, I am kadosh, so to speak, and you'll be kadosh. Just like I am, so too will you be. Kachti Yuprushim, Ulafida has ein harayot. He says, well, the Torah is not just talking about sexual propriety. It's not just talking about staying away from unreasonable allegiances. He says, Kishem she'ani kadosh ke'etem kadoshim. I'm continuing the second wide line. Kishem she'ani parush ke'etem diyu parushim. Well, if he da'ati, my opinion, ain't a prishut as all the parush min harayot. They're talking about sexual activity, k'divrei Rav. Aval a prishut he hamuzkeret b'kol makom b'talmud, but the prishut that's referred to is that which is mentioned in the Talmud, shebaaleha nikraim prushim, that as a result of what they do, these people, they're called prushim. So prushim equals kedoshim. Vanyan, ki haTorah hizhira ba'arayot v'machalim asurim, the Torah, when it was discussing sexual activities and eating, right, forbidden foods, v'tira habia ish mishdo, and allowed us to have sex with our wives, v'achilat basar v'ayayin, and also allowed us to eat meat and to drink wine, im ken yimtza ba'al ta'ava makom liyot shatuf v'zimat ishto onashav harabot. He says a person who has the wrong idea about these activities could spend a lot of time with his wife and eating food that he shouldn't. V'liyot b'sova eyayin b'zolei basar lamo, and he will be amongst those who just eat all the time and drink all the time. V'yedaber k'rtzono b'kol ha'nevel, v'yedaber k'rtzono b'kol ha'nevelot, and he'll use terrible language when he speaks. Lo iskar isur zeh b'Torah. It's not even mentioned in the Torah that you can't talk like somebody who like you shouldn't talk. He says, "V'hine yenaval b'shut haTorah." This is the great invention of the Ramban. You'll be a naval, somebody, a despicable person, but you won't at the same time. You will manage not to transgress, because you'll do things that the Torah doesn't deny you. So let's listen again. What is it that the Ramban thinks Kedusha is? For the Ramban, Kedusha means you're thinking God think. You're with God. You don't have to have a rule that tells you that something is forbidden. Everybody understands. If you look at this, the continuation of the Ramban, everybody understands that God wanted you to be careful about the food that you eat, not to go into excess. Look how difficult it is for a Jew to get a piece of meat, for a Jew to eat something that grows in the ground in Eretz Yisrael, to eat a piece of bread. He said, but you have to take true the maestro, you have to take challah, you have to take from the iso, you have to make sure the oven is a certain kind of oven. It's all very complicated and time-consuming. So why do you think the Torah did that? So the Ramban said, well, the Torah did that because the Torah knows that it's not enough to accept the obligation of the mitzvot. Not enough to accept the obligation of the mitzvot. You have to also accept the obligation of the spirit of the mitzvot. And when Chazal said that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, maybe Adam HaRishon also, and Noah, they knew the mitzvot of the Torah, and they kept them. I mean, that's what it says. That's what Chazal say. They even kept the mitzvot Rabbanon, because they understood the spirit of God's desire in creation of the world. It doesn't need mitzvot. It's only because we don't get it. So for us, mitzvot are very important, because they tell you what it is that you're forbidden to do, right? They give you explicit direction, but they also create an ambience, a kind of feeling about things, a way of understanding what God wants in general. And it's our obligation to respond to that. And if we don't respond to that, the Ramban looks at us and says, Naval v'shut haTorah, that you are a terrible, despicable person, v'shut haTorah, but you haven't done anything that the Torah says is forbidden. What you have done is not been sensitive to the real desire, to the real desire of the Torah. So according to the Ramban, kedoshim tiyu, according to the Ramban, means beyond the mitzvot, beyond the obligations, beyond the prohibitions. Act as though you're in sync with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you have to go through many steps to get a piece of bread into your mouth, well, that must mean that God does not want you to be just a fresser, just eat away, do like make eating the kind of the central event of your day. No, you eat because you have to eat. You eat because without eating, you wouldn't stay alive. You eat, and for you, it's like taking a unpleasant medicine. You do it, you have to do it, but you don't have to make it a central point of your existence. The same thing is in relationships between men and women, and the same thing is everything else in the Torah. Eating a piece of meat is important, depending on the theory of the day, but might be very important for your health and welfare, well-being. But it's not that you kind of desire it and you discover that you could eat super glatt kosher steaks, even though you are as frum as could be. So the Ramban says if you eat those super glatt kosher steaks, you're not acceding to the spirit that the Torah has devised for us. So you could say, if I had to summarize, you could say that the Torah, there are two things, there are two kind levels of Kedusha. There's the kind of Kedusha where I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing and avoiding everything that I'm supposed to be avoiding. That produces a kind of kedusha, and that kedusha is created by Rashi. Rashi says it's not a mitzvah, but it's the result of keeping the mitzvahs. The Ramban says there's another kind of kedusha. That's where you are in sync. You're in sync with the divine demand to improve the world, to make it a better place, the place which Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov perceived as their place, the place where they wanted to be. Rashi, Ramban. There's no reason to say that they disagree with each other. It's very possible that we're talking about Kedusha A and Kedusha B, the Kedusha as Rashi sees it, which is found, of course, in Chazal, in the discussion about Elisha, right? Discussion about Elisha, and the way the Ramban says it, where he invents a new notion of Novel b'shus haTorah. You could do everything that you're supposed to do, avoid everything you're supposed to avoid. That's clarified in the Torah, and still be a despicable person. Naval b'shus haTorah. And someone who avoids that pitfall is certainly in the category of Kedoshim Tiyu. All the best. Be well.